Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like you didn't have enough experience or the right skill set? Of course you have. We all have. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue with this new series on the book of Jonah called The Manifestation of Your Life Mission, Pastor Rick shows us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to, we don't have to run away from it. Why don't you invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how to live according to the purpose and plan He has for us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can order a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or just by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called What to Do When It Feels Hopeless.
Now, in the first session, I told you that there are three ways we learn. We learn by experience, we learn by explanation, and we learn by example. Without a doubt, the easiest way to learn is by example. Then you don't have to make all the mistakes yourself. You can learn from successful examples, you can actually learn from failures. You can learn from good examples, and you can learn from bad examples. We're going to take the book of Jonah and learn from a bad example, who later turned around and actually eventually got it right, of a guy who was given a mission from God, and he went the other way. God said, go. Jonah said, no. And God said, oh. And that's the whole story of Jonah. God has a life mission for your life. This is the most important thing in your life, to know your life mission. You don't want to go through life, stand before God and on judgment day, and God goes, well, did you fulfill the mission that I gave you on this earth? You go, oh, I didn't even know I had one. You think you were put on this earth to live for yourself? Really? No. God has a much bigger cause, purpose, goal, mission for your life than for you to just make money, retire, and die. Oh, no. You're not here for something that small. God has a life mission for every life. Now, today, we know that Jonah, we're looking at chapter 2, ran from his life mission. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria, and I want you to tell this message to these people. It's 550 miles to the east of where he lived in Israel. Jonah goes the exact opposite direction, as far away from God's mission for his life as he could. He gets on board a boat and heads for Tarshish, which is a seaport on the coast of Spain. It's 2,500 miles the opposite direction. And last week, we looked at 10 lessons you can learn about your life mission. But when you run from God, everything goes downhill. It creates all kinds of problems. And we looked at the problems that happened in his life. It was all down, 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 down. He gets on board a ship. It gets involved in a big storm in the Mediterranean. The soldiers throw him overboard. The sailors throw him overboard. And he gets swallowed up by this great fish. Now, remember, I told you last week, the word whale is not in this story. You've all heard all your life that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Well, first place, a whale's not a fish. A whale is a mammal. And God knows the difference. Could have been a whale, but the sailors wouldn't have known that he was a mammal. But a lot of scientists think that maybe it was the largest fish in the ocean, which is actually called a whale shark. And I showed you a picture of a typical whale shark. Here's what that looks like compared to a bus. Maybe not. Oh, there we go. Compared to that's a whale shark. They're typically about 40 feet long. That bus could hold 80 passengers. That whale shark could hold one man. And whale sharks are totally harmless to humans because they are filter feeders. They eat micronutrients. They don't need teeth like most sharks do because they don't tear stuff apart. They only eat micronutrients, so it could have easily swallowed a man. Now, the Bible doesn't say where Jonah lived or died. God could have resurrected him if he had wanted to, But that was it. And then I wanted to show you what it looks like compared to men. Here's another one. There's Jonah, actually, there swimming. And there's a whale shark. There are lots of pictures I showed you last week or in our first session of people swimming around because these guys are totally harmless to human beings. But we ended the first chapter of Jonah with this verse. Look on the screen. Now, the Lord had arranged a great fish to swallow Jonah. And now, that means he custom made. If God, you don't have a problem with this. If you believe that God created the entire universe, God created every fish in the ocean, God created every animal, God could have custom made a fish with a living room, a dinette, and air conditioning for Jonah if he'd wanted to, you know. So, you know, if you have a problem with God creating something special, you have a problem with the world. But let's go back to that verse. It said, the Lord had arranged a great fish, actually the word is ordained, to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I heard about a little girl. She was being challenged by a skeptic, and he goes, how could God create a fish that would swallow a man? And the little girl said, well, I don't know. I'm not God. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah how God did it. And the skeptic said, well, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven? What if he went to hell? She said, then you can ask him. Now, one thing we know for sure, some people thought this story was a fable, but Jesus said, no, it actually happened. And you're doubting Jesus. Jesus said it was a true, actual story. In fact, here's what the Bible says. This is hundreds of years later. Some religious scholars who didn't believe Jesus, they didn't think he is who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Some religious scholars didn't believe Jesus, challenged him saying, we want to see you do a miracle. Now, Jesus answered, you who are faithless and you intend evil, you keep asking for miraculous proof. But the only miraculous sign I'm going to give you, you guys, will be the same sign as Jonah. Now, let me explain that. Jesus did a lot of miracles for people who believed. People who had faith in him, he rewarded their faith. He healed people. He raised the dead. He did all kinds of miracles for people who had faith. But Jesus didn't go around showing off for skeptics. He wasn't doing these signs to prove himself to people who didn't believe. And so he goes, you just want me to show off. The only miracle you're going to see is the same miracle as Jonah. Now, here's what the rest of the verse says. For just as Jonah was in the belly of that huge fish for 3 days and nights, so I, the Son of Man, will be in a grave in the earth for 3 days and nights. Because I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to resurrect myself. That's called Easter. Then, on Judgment Day, the people of Nineveh, that's the people Jonah was sent to talk to, are going to stand up in judgment and condemnation of you living now. Why? Because when Jonah warned them, they immediately repented. They changed their ways and they believed in God. But today, someone greater than Jonah, he's talking about himself. He's saying, today, right now with you guys, I'm standing here, someone greater than Jonah is speaking to you right now, yet you refuse to turn to God like they did.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. You can call us at 800-600-5004 right now, or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
So now we move to the second part. In the first, Jonah's story has four parts. Part one, Jonah's running from God. Part two, Jonah runs back to God as he's thrown overboard. He's swallowed by this great fish. And in the depths of his despair, he prays a prayer. What does this have to do with your life mission? It shows the seven things you do when you're feeling hopeless, when the situation around you feels hopeless. Now, I hope you're not feeling that way right now. I really do. As your pastor, I hope you're not feeling hopeless. But you need to take notes, because one day you're going to need what I'm sharing with you today. One day you're going to lose a loved one. One day you're going to hear a dreaded word like cancer. One day the bottom's going to fall out in your life, and you're going to need to know, what do I do when I'm feeling hopeless? All right, if you take out your message notes, last session we looked at Jonah. He's thrown overboard and he's sinking fast into the ocean, and God prepares a great fish to swallow him up. And in chapter 2, we now come to what I call what to do when it feels hopeless. Have you ever had a situation where you felt you were just swallowed up? Not by a fish, but you just felt engulfed, swallowed up by something. You go, I'm surrounded by depression. I'm surrounded by conflict. I've been swallowed up with worry or guilt or whatever. Now, what do you do when it seems hopeless? In this chapter, we have seven things to do. I hope this weekend you're not feeling hopeless. I really do. I hope you're not feeling hopeless. You're going to need this someday, so take notes. Because you will have moments in your life. You're going to lose loved ones. You're going to have failures. You're going to have moments in your life where it feels hopeless. Are you going to know what to do? The Bible tells us what to do when it feels hopeless. Number one, let's get right into it. When you hit bottom, look up to God. When you hit bottom, you look up to God. This whole chapter, chapter 2, is actually a prayer. It's Jonah's prayer that he prays as he's drowning in the ocean. He's swallowed by some kind of giant fish. He doesn't know what's going on. And the entire chapter is, when I'm sinking, when I'm going down, I'm going to look up to God. I'm going to pray. That's the first verse, Jonah 2, verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Circle Jonah prayed. You know, it's funny. I was reading this today and I was thinking, some churches have a weekly fish dinner, then a prayer meeting. In this case, after the fish had dinner, Jonah prayed. It's a little bit different here. How do you think Jonah felt swallowed up by this situation? Well, he immediately does the first thing on his mind. He looks up. When you're hitting bottom, you look up. He prays to God. Now, a lot of people go, well, if God plans everything out in our lives, why in the world should we pray? It's a good question. If God's planning everything out, God's in charge, God's in control, why should we even pray? And the reason why is because God, in his sovereignty and wisdom, prescribes not only the ends that he wants to see in your life, but he also prescribes the means. He prescribes the ends to his will, what he wants done, but he also prescribes the means. And God wants to involve us in his plan. And so part of his plan is to use our prayers to accomplish what he intends to do. Part of God's plan is that he intends to use our prayers to accomplish what he wants to do already. This is inviting us to be his partners. This is quite a privilege. God could do everything in the world without a single prayer. He doesn't need our prayers. But God has chosen to involve you in your own life, and me in my own life, and all of us in the direction of the world. And there are some things God only does if we pray. He has predicated what he wants to do on our prayers. God wants to involve us. There are some things, there are some kind of problems in life that the only way you're ever going to have those problems solved is if you learn to pray persistently about that prayer. I'm not talking about pray one time and then that's it. If you only care about something enough to pray about it once, you don't really care about it. But something that you really want to see happen in your life, you're going to pray about it over and over and over. Why does God wait to answer our prayers? He could honestly answer any prayer instantly if he wanted to, but he doesn't. He lets us pray and pray more and pray more and pray more and pray more. Why? He wants first to distinguish between what's really a real desire in your life and what's just a whim. When my kids were little and it was Christmas time, we'd go through stores. Daddy, I want this for Christmas. I want this for Christmas. I want this for Christmas. I'm not really paying attention. It's just, as soon as it's out of sight, we're in the next line, we're in the next row, they've already forgotten it. That's just a whim. I'd like this. I'd like this. Oh, I'd like this. I'd like this. It's kind of like the way I go in a candy store. But when they go, I really want this, and I keep hearing them say, Dad, I really want this for Christmas. Dad, I really want this for Christmas. Dad, I really, now I know what they really want. It's the difference between just a whim. God says, if you don't care about praying about it more than one time, you really don't care about it. You want a husband? You want a different job? You want a healing? What do you want in life? Do you care about enough to keep praying about it until God's answer? God is testing your faith. He's more interested in building your faith than he is simply answering every little prayer. God's not a slot machine where you put in the prayer and you pull it and instantly you get whatever you want. A slot machine will give you stuff that will kill you. God will never give anything that's harmful to you. But there are some kind of problems in life that are never going to be solved until you look up and you pray persistently. You can try everything else, but it's not going to budge. And God is waiting for you to pray. One time, some of Jesus' followers, the disciples, came by and they go, there was this person here who, like, he had a bad spirit in him. And we tried to pray for the guy to be healed. And he wasn't healed. Why couldn't we do that? We're kind of embarrassed. We were doing it in front of everybody. And here's what Jesus said on the screen. Matthew, Mark chapter 9, verse 28 and 29. The disciples privately asked Jesus, why couldn't we drive out that bad spirit? Jesus answered, because this kind can only be forced out by prayer. Now, what is Jesus saying here? There are some problems in your life. You can try every human solution and it's not going to work. There are some problems in your life that are so deep, so deep rooted in your past, in your parents, in your traumas. Some problems that are so deep, the only way they're going to come out is by prayer. And so this is a starting point. Jonah does this thing right. This is the first thing he's done right. He's thrown overboard, and what does he do? He looks up and he immediately starts praying. God's waiting to see how persistent you are in prayer. Now, here's the second thing you do. This is what Jonah did. God wants you to do this too. When you're feeling hopeless, pray passionately. Pray passionately. I'm talking about pray with emotion. There are certain kinds of prayers God answers, and there are certain kinds of prayers God's just bored with. God is bored with the trite, memorized, mechanical, methodical, memorized prayer where you just go, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, you know? And we have all of our little cliches, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and on. And we're not even thinking about it because we've said them so many times. There's a difference, if you know as a parent, when a child comes to you and says something that's just, they don't really mean it. But when they come and they say it passionately and they say it with emotion, I can't imagine as Jonah's dropping down in the ocean and he's getting swallowed by this fish, that he's praying, now I lay me down to sleep. I doubt he's even praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First thing, Jesus hadn't given that to us yet. But he's not praying some memory. He's going, God, I need help right now. And he is crying out probably shouting out. He's praying with emotion. This guy is desperate. He's frantic. God answers desperate prayers. God answers frantic prayers. God answers emotional prayers. When was the last time you got frantic with God? God hears the crisis prayer. In Jonah verse 2, we see the second thing he did, this praying passionately. Jonah said, in my distress and in my deep trouble, I cried out. Circle that. That's passionate prayer. I cried out. When was the last time you cried out to God? And I go, hi, God, how's it going? How are you doing? Hope you had a good day today. I did too. See you tomorrow. You know, over and out, 10-4, good buddy. Yeah. God gets so bored with perfunctory prayers. They're just words. They mean nothing. He says, you worship me with your lips, but not with your heart. They're just mouthing platitudes. God says, when you talk to me, I want to hear what's on your heart. I don't want you to tell me what you think you should tell me. I don't want you to tell me what you learned in some Bible school or catechism. I want you to tell me what's on your heart, and I want you to be passionate about it. I want you to be emotional. I want you to be authentic. I want you to be real. Jonah says, I cried out. That's the second thing. You don't just look up, you cry out. You look up and you cry out. You look up and you cry out. When you're in pain, when you're feeling hopeless, when you're being swallowed up by the circumstances around you. Now, there's a word for this. Crying out to God in the Bible is the word called lamenting. A crying out to God is called a lament.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In his book called God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick draws simple but profound truths from the Bible, which give you practical guidance for specific types of change. This book connects you to the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, it's always encouraging to hear how Daily Hope helps listeners like you, how it helps you mature in your faith. Let me read you a letter I got just recently from Sherry. She said, Pastor Rick, this ministry has literally saved my life. After a series of disappointments, I had lost all hope, and I saw no reason to go on. And that changed when I discovered Daily Hope. Now I hold on, praying expectantly. You know, that's the little acrostic we use for hope, H-O-P-E. She said, my circumstances have not changed, but my outlook has. And now rather than being depressed about where I am in life, I've learned to be thankful for this time of spiritual growth. I don't know what the Lord has planned for me, but I know it's good, and I look forward to a future walking side by side with Him and using this experience to help others through their own struggles. Gratefully, Sherry. Sherry, I can't tell you how much this letter means to me. You know, God will never let you down. He's with you every step of the way. And thank you so much for writing to me and let me know how God is working in your life. I'm praying for you, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. By the way, thanks everybody for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.